Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. Okay.
Well, I'm just listening to the fiddle.
There we go. Okay. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
Hang on. I'm listening to the fade. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. This is Hino. Thanks for tuning in again tonight. As you know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. We are in our 10th year on the air, and we still don't know a darn thing.
Learning, I think we get dumber every week.
I think I'm learning more and more how little I know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But anyways, what we're able to do is bring much smarter and more talented people in to help us out and tell their stories, and hopefully we can all learn a little something and give you the opportunity to jump in the conversation as well.
Yeah, and you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show or email mail at The Music Row Show. Just lots of at The Music Row Shows at your disposal right there to send a question in or a comment.
Right.
So this hour, we're going to be talking with songwriting and with songwriting expert and next weekend's 35th anniversary VetLink salute to Vietnam veterans with song doctor Dr. Zach Van Arsdale and Donnie Winters here in hour one.
That's right. Then we're bringing in the hit songwriting ladies from the band Farewell Angelina in hour two.
That'll be awesome. All right, Scott, introduce these guys.
All right. Hey, next weekend, next Sunday, actually, the 9th of October, from 11 to 6 at Centennial Park, VetLinks, which is a Nashville-based veteran services organization, they're going to be honoring Vietnam vets with a star-spangled celebration. It's a free event with food, music, special guests, and a ceremony to honor all veterans for their service. Now, this is the 35th anniversary of this. The first one happened 35 years ago, and one of our guests was there for the very first one as well. And among the musicians donating their time to this 35th anniversary event are our guests, Zach Van Arsdale and Donnie Lee Winter. Zach has worn many, many hats over the years. Did I say Lee again? I'm sorry. Donnie Winters. Zach has worn many hats. Songwriter, publisher, actor, recording artist, and, of course, song doctor. Donnie grew up with Marty Robbins as his uncle, toured the country in the Winter Brothers band, and for the last 16 years has been, I said uncles in parentheses.
Oh, I heard the parentheses.
Did you hear the parentheses?
The way you articulated the word uncle clearly said I.
Not by blood, but that's a whole long story. We'll get to it, I promise.
Yeah.
Toured with the Winters Brothers Band for the last 16 years and for the last 16 years has been an important part of the great songwriting community here in Nashville, running songwriter nights at Douglas Corner and before that, the Sutler. He doesn't know this. Well, he does now, but he was the first person to ever let me sing in Nashville, and I'm so happy to say Zach Van Arsdale, Donnie Winters, welcome to the Music Row Show. Yeah. We're glad you guys are here.
Awesome. So, yeah, let's get his mic up there. And you, perfect.
Get on in there.
So you're the first one to let him play. It's your fault now that we've got. Okay.
Yeah. I'll never turn the songwriter away.
All right. Well, looks like we got some mic problems there, but that's all right.
We'll work it out.
We will work. We've got the crack staff on. Or is it the staff on? No.
Easy.
Well, Zach, obviously you know your way around songwriting. When you were younger, how did you go about learning how to write songs?
I mainly did it myself, you know, mostly self-taught.
Get on in that mic. There we go.
But, of course, I listened to the great songwriters, and within a few hours of being in Nashville, I was signed by Mary John Wilkins Company. Mm-hmm. And she wrote One Day at a Time and few other hits, and wrote that with Chris Christopherson, and he was there. He was there at that time, and so we were both writers at her company along with Bucky Wilkin that wrote Little GTO, you know. So
yeah.
But I would study the Hank Williams just forever for years. And
did you like dissect the songs and, you know, okay, I noticed he put the chorus here and did this there and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I studied all that and how, you know, back then his he had a very economy or something of words, very few words, and he could say so much in just you know, in a song like You're Cheating Heart or something, mm-hmm. and say a lot.
Yeah.
The songs are more verbose now, you know, after yeah. Sunday Morning Coming Down or something like that, but I studied them and other writers, you know, like the Eagles and did it like that.
Let's back up a bit. Did you say you were here for a few hours?
Oh, yeah. I have some true stories that are amazing. Like, I stepped out of my car with my cowboy boots, Levi's, and T-shirt, and a guitar. And Alex Harvey said, "Welcome to Nashville."
Happened to be standing
you
there?
You must be a songwriter, right by RCA, right?
Wow.
It'd be like unbelievable in a movie. And he said, "Mary John's signing writers, you know, like Chris Gantry, who wrote
mm-hmm.
yep. Dreams of the Everyday Housewife." And Chris hadn't written anything of any notoriety yet, if that's the right word, you know. But he was there, and being a bartender and a janitor
mm-hmm.
during that time.
Okay, hold on. So you just got out of your car.
Oh, yeah.
You just rolled into town.
Fact.
You got out of your car. And somebody said, "Mary John's hiring songwriters," so you just went over there.
I crossed the street up to where Columbia Records was, and her office was upstairs. I went up there and played them three songs, and they signed me right there.
Huh. Well, they say it's a three-minute town. Right. I mean, that's, right. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't get any songs recorded right away, and Chris didn't either. It was...
But that's crazy.
Yeah. That's back in the day when you could walk right along.
I could go into Paul Simon's sessions. Mm-hmm. I could go into Bob Dylan's sessions
mm-hmm.
right at Columbia or Johnny Cash. And they said, "Yeah, Zach, go in. If Bob doesn't mind, you know, if Paul doesn't mind, you can walk in."
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So let's see here. Logan, I'm getting louder and louder. And
I've been telling you that for years.
And I'm not hearing Donnie at all. Let's see here. Say something else there, Donnie. Okay, we're back. Donnie?
How about this?
Oh, there he is.
All right.
Producer awesome. Logan weaving
he
his
is
magic.
The man, yeah. Look at that. Magic fingers.
Okay, Zach, you grew up in a military family.
Right.
And you spent your teen years in Japan and France. Is that right?
I was in grade school in Japan and... Then Fort Ord, California, and beautiful Monterey, California.
Nice.
That's nice, yeah.
For 6 years, and then France for 4 years.
So how do you think such a wide variety of culture shaped you creatively? Do you think that opened you up to a lot of different styles of music?
Yes, yeah, it did. I think in some of my songs you could hear something even influenced by, you know, classical writers, you know, like Bach or somebody like that. Really?
Yeah.
It's more melodic, you know. Right.
Bach.
Johann, he's
oh,
one of
Johann,
my,
yeah.
He's I one know. Of my heroes, Johann Sebastian Bach.
Is that what you grew up listening to classical music as a kid?
No,
or?
My son got me into him.
Really?
Because he was at Belmont and he would play all these great songs by Bach. And I go, "God, they're amazing." You know?
I bet you if he would have come into town with some cowboy boots on and... I bet Mary Jean would have signed him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that maybe. Cute German accent, it would have been awesome. I'm thinking.
After Mary Jean, I should mention, if you don't mind, that across the street was Cedarwood Publishing Company that had Mel Tillis, you know, "Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town."
Yeah.
Daddy Sang Bass, all these hits. And I spent 11 years there, so I should definitely give J. William Denny a lot of credit for
was that the following day or
no that was about a year or so later.
Okay
I worked in a music store. Mary John didn't pay a lot. I think I got 75 a week and Chris got 150 a week.
Wow.
So I worked in the music store at 100 Oaks, and but Cedarwood signed me. I would just work hard on the songs. I would stay up all night and write songs. I'd go down there on Sunday, so it was mostly work. You know, I didn't have somebody tutor me to write songs.
Interesting.
I do that.
Well, do you remember when it was that you decided to turn pro, that you thought, you know what, I think I can make a living doing this?
Yeah, before I came here.
Yeah.
I said I was going to do it.
That was it. Just
Where were you living before you moved here?
I was at Michigan State University, and I started writing songs there. And that's the songs that Mary John liked, you know.
Okay.
So you just got out of college and said, I'm going to Nashville.
And that's about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Boy, piece of cake.
And she kept me maybe about a year, and then I went to the music store, and then I sold this Cedarwood Publishing Company, organ and Yamaha piano, and submitted my songs to them, and they signed me up for about, 11 years. But I went during that time to work for the Outlaws, Tom Paul Glazer and Waylon Jennings, and that's how I got three songs recorded by Waylon and one song by Jesse Coulter, by going over and working at Glazer Studios.
So you were at both places?
No, I mean, I left for about 2 years during the peak of... When I found out Waylon sold the first million seller ever in country music, I think that's a fact. I went, maybe that's a good place to go. And Tom Paul hired me to be like a song... What do they call it? Creative manager at that publishing company.
Okay, creative director?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Creative manager there, so.
Well, I'm curious why... go ahead, Hino.
I was just wondering, because one of the things that Scott mentioned in his intro was that you did a lot of acting. How in the world did you jump from songwriting to being in all these movies?
Well... The movies came to Nashville during that time. I'm sorry, okay. I'm looking at you instead of the microphone. So when Burt Reynolds would come to make a movie here, like WW and the Dixie Dance Kings, I would go down and work in it. But honestly, some days I would just be driving a car, or I would be Hank Williams in a bar on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
They'd dress me up like Hank Williams, and then... The next day I'd be a teenager dancing or something like that. So it was mostly featured extra things rather than...
Okay.
Yeah.
Than actual roles.
Than actual...
But that changed a bit after you hooked up with Dennis Hopper, right?
Well, one of the songs that I got out of the car and played for Mary John, Chris went with Dennis Hopper to Peru to make a movie, and they played it for him. And Dennis Hopper said, I love that, and they put it in the movie. They put Sympathetic Scarecrow in that movie. So Dennis called me up, and he said, when I go to my house in Taos, New Mexico, I want you to come and play your songs there. So every night about 5 or 6 when they had dinner, I'd have to play for my supper. I'd play songs for Dennis Hopper. And there's on YouTube, there's me and Dennis Hopper singing Sympathetic Scarecrow. And it was in three movies, yeah.
That's amazing. So basically you were the house band for that house. You had to play for dinner.
Well, it was worth it. The house is now a museum.
Is
the
it
Mabel
really?
Dodge Lujan house. And I remember the things on the wall there, it was Andy Warhol things, and they had to be not priceless, but Dennis Hopper owned them because Andy gave them to Dennis Hopper when he was in New York, you know. But famous things that sold for quite a bit at those, what are those auctions?
Southern? Wow.
Zach, I'm hearing all these stories, and I'm feeling like you're like a songwriter version of Forrest Gump, that all these things just happened and you were there, and it's like, you know, hey, she's signing. Okay.
Hey, they're making a movie over there.
Hey, come to my house in Taos. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder, why did I do that? But, I mean, I guess I did it to get more songs and more movies.
Well, it worked. Right?
It worked.
And he asked me to come back, so I guess he liked that.
Wow.
Went there twice.
Sweet.
But I just looked up Mabel Dodge Lujan House recently and found out that it's a museum in Taos, New Mexico.
Man. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break. I want to let you know that our sponsor for this segment is Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I both drive Toyotas, as you probably know, and we can't speak highly enough of that dealership. It's a great, great place.
But we're going to try.
We're going to screw.
We're going to try. Yes. They're just good folks. If you're going out looking for cars, you're not going to get jumped by salespeople. But if you have a question, they're there to answer your questions. It's a comfortable environment. When I go get my car worked on, I'll bring my laptop and do some work. And everybody's just super friendly. George always comes out and says, hello, how you doing? And it just, you just feel welcome in there.
He does?
It's comfortable, yeah.
They always tell me that he just left when I go there.
Interesting.
That is weird. But yeah. Seriously, George
is it weird?
George is a great guy. Ask for him. He'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. And we are going to be back with a whole lot more of the Music Row Show. So stick around.
Digging frogs with the flashlight down by the river. We fell in, got wet, and started to shiver. Found a blanket and shine in my uncle's car. Soon we were kissing and sipping from a mason jar. Gathered up some wood and we built a fire. We got all hot and heavy with desire. Was it moonlight or moonshine?
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with songwriter and song doctor Zach Von Arsdale and also Donnie White.
Donnie Winters.
Winters. Boy, you're calling him Lee. I'm calling him White.
It's Lee White. Yeah. It's,
my middle name is Leroy.
Leroy. Donnie Winters.
Here's what happened. Well, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
There's a story behind all that. Now, they're going to be part of the VetLinks event, which is coming up this coming Sunday, the 9th of October. There's going to be a whole bunch of songwriters and musicians playing, plus a ceremony. Let me ask you guys this, and both of you answer this, please, but why, just not at the same time. Why is this VetLinks event important to you guys? Have you been involved in the past? We know Donnie has.
Well, yeah, I played. My band, the Winters Brothers Band, played the very first one in 1981. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Daniels was our, John Fergus. Yeah, he was the veterans. Okay, I can't read your lips.
That's all right. What were you saying about Charlie Daniels?
Anyway, he was our guest, and the Winters Brothers Band got to be his band for that day. We did about two or three songs with him, and then we did our set as well.
Nice.
And it was fun. And I guess that's kind of why I'm involved this time. You know?
Okay, Zach, how about you?
I am just leaning towards being sentimental about the military. I lived on military bases for 18 years and went to school on bases in Yokohama and military school in Paris, France, and I really appreciate what I got from that. So I'm used to the hearing the military sounds and the cannon at 5 p.m. And when Faye Baldwin asked me to do it, I said, "Sure, I'd love to do that."
Well, it's gonna be a great day from 11 to 6, and I'm not sure when the ceremony is. But there's just all sorts of stuff. There's music, there's food, there's stuff for the kids to do, games for kids. And I think they had something like 10,000 people come to the one in 35 years ago, right? It was a pretty big crowd.
Yeah.
So,
our stage was right in front of the Parthenon, mm-hmm. and there was people all over the place.
Wow.
That's the best I remember. And just everywhere you turn, there was people. And even the video that's on YouTube of our performance with Charlie Daniels, the camera person was having a hard time shooting because there were so many people all around him.
Wow.
But it came off. It was fun.
Well, I'm sure they're hoping to have that same kind of a crowd honoring Vietnam veterans this coming Sunday, October 9th.
Oh, I'll be there honoring them.
Excellent. Right. Zach, you want to play us a song?
Yeah, it does say all veterans, too. So
it all veterans, mainly, of course. Yeah.
Mainly the Vietnam. Sure.
Right.
Okay. How about veterinarians?
Oh. Donnie, hand him the yeller cord there, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, though.
There we go.
We'll get him plugged in. Yeah, Zach's going to play us a song, and I think Donnie's going to...
It's not going to snap, Donnie?
Hmm. No, he
there we go.
Nope. He's a pro.
I know. He does that all the time.
Have you already got this thing
yep.
set?
Yep. It's set up. It's ready to go.
Watch your phone, Donnie, if this...
All right, let her rip, Zach. Okay.
It's another wasted morning. When I'm holding up the wall, too much tequila makes me wonder just why I'm headed home at all. I get that honky-tonk feeling every night your arms grow cold, and now I know that's the reason I need a home away from home. So I'll say it one more time, and I hope you'll understand. When I can't find it in your arms, girl, I'll find it where I can. Donnie Winters. I can't refuse them lonely women. Lord, I know just how they feel. And I can't keep on pretending what you've been giving me is real. I get that honky-tonk feeling every night your arms grow cold. Now I know that's the reason I need a home away from home. So I'll say it one more time, and I hope you'll understand. When I can't find it in your arms, girl, I'm gonna find it where I can. Can.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Well done,
well,
Zach.
Zach, that song, Gene Watson just cut that recently Real Country Music
out on Facebook
album. And that was also recorded by Jerry Lee Lewis and Waylon Jennings. Tell us.
James Garner. How many people get a James Garner?
That's pretty awesome. So, how did all that happen? What do you remember about writing the song, and then how did it get to all these people?
Oh, yeah. I should mention Michael Clark came into Cedarwood, and I helped him get signed up there with Bill Denny. He's kind of like a family member, Bill Denny is. He was a big person in the music business. And Bill said that he'd sign him if I wrote some songs with him. So he came into the conference room and he said, I got the song, and he gave me the title, you know, if I can't find it in your arms, I'll find it where I can. And I said, I can identify with that at the time. And so we wrote just a few lines, and they left, and then I really finished the rest of the song, but I'm grateful to Michael Clark for that. Waylon stopped by one day, and when I was writing, I said, come on and help me finish this song. I'm writing it for you. And he goes, oh, no, I got to get up to the Spence Manor. Bye, you know. But he said he wished he'd stayed there and finished it with me. But he did record it, yeah.
That's great.
That's the least he could do.
Zach, where do we find you online?
Online at zachvanarsdale.com or songdoctor.net. And Facebook is, everybody's on there, right?
Yeah.
Everybody except for all of our kids now. Now that we've all figured out how to use it, all the kids left.
Yeah,
the kids are on there now too.
We found something new.
They're on Snapchat.
Exactly. I mean, young kids are on there. You know, yeah. 10 years old, 9 years old.
That's true.
Well, Donnie, I want to chat with you for a minute. We got a few minutes for our next break, but your dad sang and toured with the great Marty Robbins for several years.
23 years.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm sure you have some pretty amazing Marty memories, but what are some of your favorites?
Working with him on the farm, baling hay, and playing with him on the Grand Ole Opry. He suffered his first heart attack, I think it was October of 1969. While he was recovering, I happened to be at the office with my dad one afternoon, and he asked me to, in his terms, learn the licks to the pass. And what that meant was learn the lead licks for El Paso. And I said, okay. Why? And he said, because I want you to play with me for a while. He had let all of his band, with the exception of my dad and Bobby Sykes, who were the harmony singers with
right.
him, he'd let everybody go because he didn't know how long he was going to be out of commission. But as soon as he got to where he could play the Opry again. Now, that's all I did with him was just play the Opry for about a year. And, just getting to know the Opry staff musicians at that point was a gift. And they took me under arm and, you know, showed me the ropes and was very supportive. People like Jimmy Capps and Spider Wilson, Leon Rhodes, Joe Edwards, Billy Linneman, I remember the keyboard player too, but his name escapes me at present moment. It'll come to me in about a half an hour.
Oh, good. You can call us.
Yeah. Well, Harold Weekly was the drummer.
Okay.
At the time. Jerry Whitehurst. That was him.
There we go.
Well, my mom just loves Marty Robbins and just thinks the world of his music. So,
oh, he had a voice.
Yeah.
Well, you had a song of his that you wrote for him called Shotgun Rider that I've seen. Oh, it appears on lots of lists of classics, which puts you in very rare company. Nobody seems to write story songs like that anymore. What do you remember about writing that one?
Actually, my brother and myself wrote that together.
Yeah.
He actually had the first cut on it, which was kind of bare compared to what we ended up with on our first album version. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. We got told Josh Graves played dobro on it, and trying to think of who the other musicians were, because it was just a few of us in the studio.
Talk about writing it. Was it a long ride, or were you guys, was it a pretty quick one for you?
It wasn't necessarily a long ride. It came together pretty quick. But it was a story. Yeah. And Dennis and I grew up listening to his Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs albums, that nature. So we kind of had an idea. We like those type of songs anyway, and the Sons of the Pioneers. And so the story just kind of unfolded in front of us, you know.
Well, I just thought it was interesting when I went to listen to it, you know, because I hadn't heard it before. And most of the time you think Shotgun Rider, you hear that today, that's, mm-hmm. you know, the guy sitting in the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was surprised to hear the song. He's like, no, it's actually about the guy with the shotgun, you know, riding, oh, yeah. riding on the stagecoach. Yeah. And there's this whole great story that goes along with that.
Yeah,
was,
well,
I liked
it
a lot.
Well, we used to watch a lot of Saturday morning Roy Rogers and Gene Autry.
Right.
Sky King and all those, you know, but especially the ones that were more Gene Autry and Roy Rogers based, because you always had a Shotgun Rider, you know, on the stagecoach. Mm-hmm. And we were always fascinated with those old movies. And that's kind of where the story came from, you know, was from watching those.
Yeah, yeah. I miss those on the radio. I do. But we do need to take a break. This segment was brought to you by our friends over at Yes Master. Once you've gone to Buddy Hyatt and done your awesome demo, do yourself a favor. Get it mastered.
Yeah. If you're doing any pitching or trying to get your songs in movies or TV or, you know, obviously also the radio, you need it to sound as good as possible and as professional as possible and as up to par with all the other stuff that's being played on those platforms. And mastering is what does that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming you've got a great recording in the first place.
And a good song.
Yeah, and a good song. Mastering just puts it right over the top. And they do such a great job, those guys at Yes Master. I mean, everything from Grammy Award-winning albums to people like Scott and myself have used them. So check them out at yesmaster.com. They do great work. We're going to be back with a whole lot more of Donnie West and Zach Van Arsdale here on the Music Row Show.
Donnie Winters.
I'm going through all the... Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little Donnie Winters there. I like that. That's a great song.
If I'm Lucky.
Well,
if
you.
I'm Lucky, that's the name of the tune.
And now, that is on a project that hasn't yet to come out, right?
Yeah, we'll be finishing it up real soon.
Forthcoming, I believe, was the term.
Yeah, not the fourth project, but soon to come.
All soon right. to come, soon to come.
Now, you were talking about a long ride or a short ride. That song actually took me about 3 or 4 years to write.
Really?
Really?
My rearview mirror had actually fallen off on my car, and it took me a while to go get the super glue to stick it back on. And the song idea came to me while I was driving around Bellevue one afternoon. And then I used to mow a lot on the farm that I live, mm-hmm. and I literally wrote the song while I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a tractor or my car, you know, going to and fro somewhere else.
Isn't that interesting?
And I had one, the whole first verse was written, and I just carried that around with me for a long time, and I just sang it over and over again. And then the second verse kind of came in line at a time. And once I got the second verse done, I thought I was done. And I said, no, I got to have some kind of a bridge. And it took me another year or so before I came up with the bridge part in the middle. And I was so exhausted by then, I said, well, I'll just repeat the first verse. You
know? Well, you had a band with your brothers. You mentioned it earlier.
The Winters Brothers.
Winters Brothers. So what advice or tips can you give our listeners about performing with family and the pros and cons of all that and how to make that work?
Just be up front, uh-huh. you know, especially with family. Make sure you know what is expected of you and make sure they know what you expect from them going in.
Right.
You know, don't just sit back and kind of take things as they come, you know. Be involved as much as you can in the decision making, the creative side of it, you know. Don't hold back and let somebody else make those decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Man, I got to say that was a great band, the Winters Brothers band. I would still like to see them today.
Well, which version?
the one
with you in it.
What year?
Well, that's what I'm saying is yeah. that, you know, even when I was still there, we went through some drummers and bass players. Mm-hmm. And, of course, like I said, we played some impressive shows and opened some shows for some big-name acts, but the money just wasn't there for us.
Right.
As being an opening act, you make anywhere from $250, which is for the whole band.
Yeah.
You know, all your expenses, that's got to come out of that, and that's not enough. You know, and a lot of that was our booking and management at the time. You know, it's because, but they were good to us. We worked a lot, but we didn't really make a lot of money. And even though we had a major label record deal with Atco Records, we never really saw any record money or royalties. I think the most royalties I ever saw was from the songs that Marty Robbins had published. Cause we got royalty statements and checks, you know, whenever we were supposed to, like every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But with the other companies, it wasn't quite like that.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take one more break. We're going to come back, and Donnie's going to play us a song again. Let's remind everybody, this next weekend from 11 to 6 on Sunday the 9th, VetLinks, the organization. Where's the website that they can go to get more information? Is it there?
www.vetlinks.org?
And it's
.org, all right.
And links is LINX, so www.vetlinks.org. It's going to be a great time, 35th anniversary Star-Spangled Celebration honoring veterans right here at Centennial Park. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of Donnie Winters and Zach Van Arsdale here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
You're running wild.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little Donnie Winters doing You're Running Wild.
So
like
nice.
That from that forthcoming project we hear so much about.
That's right.
Not Johnny Winters, Donnie Winters.
Donnie, now, you're doing Writers' Nights at Douglas Corner now.
Been there 10 years.
10 years.
Wow.
I can only imagine that you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and many times all in the same night.
Yes, every Tuesday night, every Tuesday night.
What are some do's and don'ts for newcomers to the Nashville songwriter scene that you wish everybody would know before they come play a songwriter night?
When you get on stage, before you do your first song, tell people who you are. You know, I have so many writers that get on stage, they just start playing, you know, and everybody says, oh, that's great. Who is it? You know? well, what's their name? And I know because I have a list. Douglas Corner is a call-in thing where you call in, leave your name on an answer machine, and that's one of the last things I do before we start is get the names off the answer machine.
Right.
And I'll call the names and put my first round up, and then it goes sometimes to almost 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I get home about 4 o'clock. Not every Tuesday or Wednesday morning, but a lot of times.
Wow. Sometimes.
That's great you stay there that long.
Well, when I first started, we were lucky if we had 30 riders, and we'd probably go to midnight. But one of the riders that came, he put a blog on his personal webpage, and the Nashville Scene picked it up, and he actually listed us as his number one favorite open mic writers night. And then all the others in town below it. And the Nashville Scene picked it up and published it. After that, our phone blew up. And we were getting 50, 60 riders every Tuesday.
Wow.
And, of course, not everybody stays all night because it gets late and they've got either school or work the next day. But those that do stay, pushed it.
Wow.
Pushed it to a quarter to three, you know.
Wow.
Around that time, are you ever tempted to just leave them the keys and say, hey, lock up when you leave and... You know,
I'll see you next week. I'm there.
You're there
for the duration. I'm not only there for them, you know, I'm also there for my bartender, Miss Rhonda.
Miss Rhonda. Yes. We love Rhonda.
Rhonda is awesome. Yeah, she's my best friend. Great.
Well, play us a song. We got a little bit of time left. Let's hear a Donnie Winters song.
Well, this is one that I wrote kind of as a tribute to Marty Robbins and the Great Cowboy Singers. My dad was also a world-class yodeler. Taught me how to yodel when I was about 12 years old. And so it's kind of a tribute to him and all the great cowboy songs that I've ever heard.
Great way to end the show.
Yep, we're going to be
hour of the show.
Going to be back with Farewell Angelina.
Yes, we are. Very excited about that.
Thank you to Donnie Winters. Thank you to Zach Van Arsdale. Come see them Sunday at the Vet Links 35th Anniversary Star Spangled Benefit, and we're going to be right back with more of the Music Row Show.
Yeah.